afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Oh, boy. The weather just made a liar out of me. Wasn't it just last Saturday I said something about I didn't think we'd see any more 30s and 40s this year? And what is it going to be tonight? In the 30s and 40s. That's better. Earlier in the week, one of the websites that I keep track of, or our Facebook page, is WX South. He's got like a little free update thing he does every once in a while. But then he's got, for some reason, he's got a paid, I guess he's a amateur forecaster. He's got a paid site or something. So I mooch off the free stuff he posts on Facebook. But he had like a big winter storm coming in through, you know, like North Carolina, the upper part of Georgia, South Carolina. I mean, it was going to be, I don't know, somewhere between 10 inches of snow in North Carolina, like 6 or 7 for the upstate. And of course, it shifted. And he said that in his thing. He said, yeah, these models are probably coming together, probably, but it lifted up north. But you know, you're going to get snow all up through Kentucky and all through there. That was earlier in the week. That was meant to be for us, which was kind of cool. You know, April snow, you had that much. It'd be pretty bad for the trees, all the leaves on the trees and all. And of course, the cold's going to get the peach farmers again. And all those people that put their gardens out early. And I don't feel so bad about getting mine in late now because you guys are going to have to cover it up or it's going to freeze to death. No. Anyway, but yeah, just, I should know better. I've been living my whole life here in South Carolina. I know the weather changes. March and April are horrible months. Talk to anybody who tries to go bass fishing right now. The poor fish, they're so messed up. They get a week or two in February where it's 60 degrees and 70 degrees. The classic comes to town. The temperature takes a nosedive, rains, water comes up. It gets cold, then it's warm for a couple of days, it's cold again. Now it's next week, it's in the 50s and 60s. You know, the poor fish are so confused. They're like, look, when the temperature, air temperature gets to 70, water temperature gets to 60, we're supposed to go spawn. Instead, the air temperature goes down to the 50s again, the water temperature drops below 55, and poor fish are all confused. Maybe they just won't spawn this year. Forget it. We're not doing it this year. We'll do it next year. You know, call it what it is. But, yeah, well, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, when the fishing really gets good, it's really just going to get good, like all in one day. So for those of you with boats, that means to be on ready. When your buddy starts telling you they're catching fish, go fishing. excuse me. Voice is kind of hoarse today. But we got through it. Had to appreciate the opportunity. I had to go to speak at North Greenville University to a couple of classes on sales and marketing. Not that I know much about sales and marketing, but I have started a radio show and have marketed to enough sponsors to keep it going. So Dave Nichols, who used to be here at the station, asked me. But it was fun. Enjoyed it. Amazing how nervous you get in front of people. I can sit here in the studio and, you know, hey, it doesn't bother me. I can, it's home almost. But gosh, I was kind of nervous up there earlier today. So, anyway, welcome to the show. It's, you're listening to 94.5 WGTK here in Greenville, the answer. And I've had this story, and it's like a lot of stories, I just don't get to them. And poor Dr. Grant Woods and I are playing, you know, we both got schedules from who knows where right now. We can't get together on time between he and I and the studio to make it happen to be on. So he'll be on. We may not talk about turkeys because turkey season is going to be pretty much gone here shortly. So since I couldn't get Grant, I went back and pulled one of turkey shows last year with Ryan and Sarah Groh from the Spartanburg Chapel of National Wild Turkey Federation. Yeah, she was 8 years. I guess she's 9 years old now. But she competes on stage in turkey calling competitions and all. She was there at Nationals again this year. So I went back and I pulled that because I didn't want turkey season to go by without talking a little bit. And we had Pete talking last week a little bit about turkeys. So we're going to have that second, third segment. It was a fun little interview. I'm going to have her back on. She's just painfully shy. not on the turkey stage now, but in here. So we're going to rerun that. So there's a little bit of turkey stuff for you guys. And then I'll fill in. But as soon as Grant and I, our schedules sync up, we're going to have him on and we're going to talk. I guess we'll skip the turkeys maybe, depending on when he can come in. And then, because he's traveling, I think where's he going? Oklahoma this week or Texas or somewhere? He sent me an email. Hang on, I'll check right quick. Must be nice to be Grant Woods, though. Let's see. Where was he going to chase turkeys? Come on, phone. Any other time you would, let's see. Yeah, let's see. Florida Saturday. Oh, Kansas. And he's going to be in Minnesota. So we'll figure it out. We'll get Grant. He's a good interview and he's working. He's great to work with. So, all right, let's see. I'm going to do the calendar events in the last segment because I want to get to something here. In a story, a friend of mine posted a story that her dog was killed. They live in Florida, in a subdivision in Florida, and her pet, I forget what kind of dog it is, one of the small dogs, was killed deep by a coyote the other day. And it just, you know, it brought back a story that I had in the stack of stuff, to coin something Rush says, a story about coyotes. And it kind of interesting. And if you had a pet go missing, then you know, a lot of times coyotes are blamed. And they're not living in the deep, dark woods, people. Coyotes are roaming your neighborhood, your streets and all. And they're not a threat to us, but to small animals and all they are. Now, this was written January 23rd in the, let's see, is this the state newspaper? It's an opinion piece written by the South Carolina director of the Humane Society of the United States. That'll set up a little bit for you. This, I think this is a state paper. Stop. Don't shoot that coyote. Columbia, South Carolina. We need to be aware of the presence of coyotes and take simple safety steps to reduce the potential for conflicts. But the mass killing of coyotes is not an effective wildlife management strategy. She's a little right and a little wrong there. We'll get to that. The use of cruel methods such as killing contests, bounties, and trapping to eliminate this keystone species is unnecessary and out of step with values of compassion and conservation. Again, a little right. You know, conservation is the natural resources, and nature will come to a balance. But a coyote doesn't stop with a deer or a rabbit. He's coming for, you know, your little dog and your little cat when everything else is gone. Coyotes provide a number of free natural ecological services that all South Carolinians should appreciate. They help control disease transmission and keep rodent populations in check, sure, curtailing hantavirus, a rodent-borne illness that kills humans. Snakes also do that. Coyotes clean up animal carcasses. Okay, we got crows and buzzards and all that to do that too. Remove sick animals from the gene pool. You know, it's either that or starvation. And protect crops. I haven't figured out the protect crops part yet. They also indirectly protect birds from smaller carnivores, thereby increasing the biological diversity of plant and wildlife communities. Ground nesting birds, not so much. Quail, turkeys, coyotes love those. Despite their importance, humans have waged a war on coyotes for more than a century, killing them with poisons, traps, guns, hunting dogs, and a variety of other brutal methods. The wary nature and remarkable adaptability of coyotes has resulted in expansion of the range throughout North America. The removal of their natural predators have allowed their expansion. Wolves, essentially, were really the only predator the coyotes had. Now some people are blaming any perceived reduction in deer hunting numbers on coyotes, but the science simply does not support this. Wildlife management professionals have pointed out that the key to deer survival is protecting breeding females and ensuring that herds have access to adequate nutrition, not artificially curtailing the natural predation that strengthen a herd by culling sick and weak animals. Here's a big problem we have with this one, because if you look at the studies done down at Savannah River site, coyotes are responsible between 70 and 80% of the predation rates on fawns. So her little statement here about protecting breeding females, well, that's true. Inadequate nutrition, I would say habitat even more, but fawns are not the culling sick and weak animals. That's where they're having their huge impact on whitetails. So we disagree a little bit there. Going on, coyote killing bounties or contests such as South Carolina's Coyote Harvest Incentive Program, North Carolina's Richmond Powerball Coyote Hunting Scheme, or the Georgia Coyote Challenge simply do not work. If coyotes are removed from an area, others will quickly replace them. True. You got it right there. And actually, hunting does not, I mean, we kill 30-some thousand coyotes a year in South Carolina just by hunting. That tells you how adaptable they are and how big the population is. But trapping is really the only long-term solution to it, and that's just stabilizing the population that's already here. But on the other hand, hunters, you can take a big chunk out of the coyote population this month, April and May, when they are pupping litters themselves. They are also hammering the fawn populations. So if you're a deer hunter or a conservationist or whatever, now's the time. If you're going to hunt coyotes, now's the time you need to be out there doing it. They're out there a lot more, rounding up food, and at the same time, you'll be protecting the whitetail population. When aggressively controlled, coyotes can boost their reproductive rates. Not true. Coyotes, they have a gestation period just like everything else, and they drop those litters in the spring of the year, just like everything else. In 2016, in response to claims by deer hunters that coyotes were adversely affecting their quarry, the Pennsylvania Game Commission concluded that after decades of using predator control with no effect in the emergence of wildlife management as a science, the agency finally accepted the reality that predator control does not work. Well, it does. It's not very long term, but you have to have it. Predators don't compete with hunters for game. Wrong. The limiting factor is habitat. Agree with that. Habitat's a big part of all wildlife conservation and why a lot of species and all are having a tough time. We must focus our efforts on habitat. Agreed. A study by New York's Department of Environmental Conservation found that on the whole, deer numbers were actually growing in the presence of well-established coyote populations. I don't know about that. They're falling here in South Carolina because of coyotes. The methods used to kill coyotes are also facing more public opposition. The most common device used are steel jaw leg hold traps. And look, it says here, severe painful injuries and suffering for any animal or human unfortunate enough to come across them. Hey, go look on YouTube. You can find videos of guys who are sticking their hands in leg hold traps. It's not, look, they're safe. That's why they're leg holds. So if you catch something else, you can release it. Humane Society provides information on humans, you know, whatever. I'm telling you. And if you live in neighborhoods and you hear coyotes howling around you, they're not surviving on much other than what they can find to eat and cats and dogs or whatever. And I hate it for you. But when a piece like that comes along, you got to take it apart. So, like I said, if you want to control coyotes, now's the time you need to be out there. And hopefully you don't have to worry about it around your neighborhood or whatever. Hang on through the break. We're going to be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina with Ryan and Sarah Groh and a little bit of turkey hunting. A turkey loose in the studio with me today. No, not really. It is 8-year-old Sarah Groh, who is a veteran of the big stage of the National Wild Turkey Federation's calling contest. She and her dad, Ryan, are here with me in the studio today. And that reason right there is why you'll never hear me pick up a turkey call on this show, because I am not even that good with a turkey call. But Ryan and Sarah, thank you for being here, being a part of Woods and Water South Carolina.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah, I saw your pictures and all on Facebook of her being at the National Wild Turkey Federation. I know you had the state calling championships out here at Cabela's a few weeks ago. And with it being turkey season, I said, this is just the perfect time for us to have a young lady, an 8-year-old young lady, who has been on a stage like National Calling Contest. She called it state. She's won some seconds and first in the Pulse divisions, and we'll get into that a little bit better. But, you know, it's like I said on my Facebook page, it is inspiring to be around young and talented people in the outdoors. And this is a great opportunity for us.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. And your mom is here and your little sister is here. And, so we just got the whole family and it's going to be a great show. But welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'm joined with these two today, and we're just going to jump right into turkeys and National Wild Turkey Federation, Turkey Calling, and run it as long as it'll go, and then I'll kick them to the curb and they can go home and have a good afternoon together. Ryan, you're president of the National Wild Turkey, the Spartanburg chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation. How long have you been doing that?
Correct. We reestablished the Spartanburg chapter this past August. So, of course, that's when I really got involved as a president of a local chapter. So we're still going through our rebuilding stages. We've got a lot of things that we're looking forward to getting involved with the community and offering for different folks. But that's kind of where I got started and when I got started.
Okay. Turkey hunted long time?
Oh, man. Yeah. My turkey hunting days go back probably 30 years.
Wow. So. Yeah, that's to the point where they were just getting reintroduced and back in South Carolina then.
That's correct. I've hunted all over the Southeast, even out into the Midwest.
Wow.
Matter of fact, 2016 completed a single season Grand Slam, which is taken in Osceola in Florida, Eastern in South Carolina, Rio in Kansas, and a Miriam in Nebraska, all in the same season.
Boy, you saw some pretty country
absolutely
in the season, didn't you?
Absolutely. Would love to do it every year.
and okay, I guess you would start in Florida. Or would you start in South Carolina? I mean, whose season comes first?
You'll start, typically, you know, when you do that, you're going to start in Florida. Florida will come in, the further south, seasons come in a little earlier.
Yeah.
So I started in Florida, was successful there.
All right.
Got my Eastern in South Carolina. From there, went into hunting Kansas mid to late April.
All right.
And then early May, finished everything up in Nebraska.
Did he take you along for this journey?
No.
No? That's just wrong, isn't it?
We're planning that for the future.
Well,
that's in the pipeline.
That, you know, and that's the great thing about it. When you raise them up like this, you get interest in it, you can take them with you.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
You're going to have to travel. You have to gas. You're going to have to motels and all. It's easy enough just to one bag. That's all you get, one bag. No makeup. That's cool. And y'all will have to, when you do that, you will have to let me know about it.
I will. My goal is to, you know, be able to do a Grand Slam with her as long as her passion is there.
Sure.
And I feel strong that it will be. And doing so, we're going to try to do it behind the camera.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
If we can put it all together Absolutely. And be successful doing it, we'll have the footage to talk about for many years to come.
Man, that's great. And that is a memory, young lady, you will care for the rest of your life. We're talking earlier about my oldest daughter. She did her stint when she was younger with daddy, and then she kind of got out of it. And then she comes home now, and she's like, let's go hunting. Well, it's not about the hunting. It's about spending time with dad. It's about getting back outdoors where I had so much fun when I was a kid. And then it's your responsibility to pass it on down to the next generation.
Right.
Spartanburg National Wild Turkey Federation chapter. How do people get involved?
Of course, we can be located through the NWTF.org website, the main
page.
We also can be found on Facebook.
All right.
We're on social media. It's the Spartanburg NWTF chapter. Of course, I can be reached directly through Facebook. I can be contacted via phone. All that information, again, everything, even my cell phone number is available through the NWTF.org website. Okay. Easiest place to get started.
All right. Now, I know you guys hosted the state calling championships here at Cabela's a couple months ago, or a month ago. Actually, it was postponed once.
It was postponed due to the little storm we had,
right.
the weather that set in, the snow. And then, yes, we had it rescheduled. It was about a month ago.
Of course, you'll have a fundraising banquet at some point, or have already had one this year?
We have. We have already had one this year. Our goal is to have one every year.
Of course.
Now, we have our annual banquet for our chapter and the NWTF. That's every year. We try to focus around having our annual banquet in August. August the 3rd. It's actually scheduled for it this time.
Okay. All right.
It'll be located at the Lodge in Bowling Springs off Highway Number 9. Everybody's welcome. Tickets are available at the door.
Okay.
They can be purchased in advance. Also, they can be purchased online. So many ways to get involved and get in touch with us and support us and support what we love to do.
And NWTF has a great program. It's the mentor program where, you know, if you're like me, have a passion for kids in the outdoors, you can get involved through the National Wild Turkey Federation, whether it's taking a kid hunting, opening up a place you have for someone to bring a kid hunting or whatever. They have the rolling hunts for the disabled. They have military. I mean, NFTF is involved in a lot of things other than just turkeys anymore.
Huge. They are. In a lot of chapters, something that we're eventually going to do, it's not always just turkey hunting, even though it, you know, we are the NWTF.
Right.
In the future, we kind of have plans on doing a dove hunt where we're going to bring in some youth, make it available. Again, everything will be available online at the NWTF.org. You can keep up with us and every chapter in the upstate for that matter. But, there'll be a lot more to come. Fishing, that's another thing that we get a lot involved in with the kids. And hopefully down the road we'll be doing some 3D archery stuff as well.
Very cool.
That's kind of something that's on our radar.
If you haven't ever been to the Edgefield headquarters for NWTF and the Palmetto Shooting Complex, it's an incredible place.
It's unbelievable.
It really is a neat place. They got lots of plans. They bought one of the old mills downtown to have an NWTF hotel. They've got a 10-year plan, I think, for the development of the land they were just given or just purchased adjacent to what they were given many years ago by the town of Edgefield, which I think is still going to include some cabins, some RV hookups. P.J. Perea was a good friend of mine who he left and went to the Georgia Ecology Lab down at SRS. But while he was in NWTF, we had some conferences down there. It's a great place to visit.
It is.
It's going to be a destination for the outdoorsman, kind of like a vacation destination. Go shoot, participate in National Wild Turkey Federation events. It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, they've got a museum, the Winchester
Museum,
that is really just unbelievable. It's a place that if you want to go and you want to learn about everything from the beginning of the National Wild Turkey Federation, where they got started to where they're at current, what their focus is on, it's just unbelievable. Shows all the different subspecies, the maps of where they can be located. It's a day full event, and it's great for kids. A lot of schools go down
there. They do.
And take kids down there.
They do.
It's unbelievable.
And all thanks to a cardboard box.
That is correct.
All right, people, hang on through the break. We're going to be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Sarah's going to talk to us about calls and calling and what she likes best and competitions and how you get involved. So a lot more to come here on this next segment. So stay tuned, and we'll be back on the other side. There's that turkey again. This turkey is wearing a purple shirt. National Wild Turkey Federation shirt, by the way. That's a pretty shirt. And she's got long brown hair. She's got glasses. She's a real cute turkey. And her name is Sarah. Sarah, thank you for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you for having me here.
Yes, ma'am. Wow, I guess starting off, what's it like being on a stage like Opryland, National Wild Turkey Federation, calling contest?
It's kind of nervous but exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mix of emotions. Like, you can't see the audience, but so, like, it makes you less nervous that you can't see the audience, because if you could see the audience, it would be nerve-wracking.
I noticed from some of the pictures, it looks like you get to walk around while you're calling. Is that right?
Yes. Like adding different things to make it more realistic.
I guess when you walk, you can turn a certain way and make it sound like it's distant, and then open it up and you get a difference in volume, I suppose.
Yeah, like a turkey is actually walking around.
How did you get involved in turkey calling? I mean, is it all because of your dad's love of turkey hunting, or?
Yeah, I just saw him doing it and I wanted to do it too.
And she just jumped right in.
Jumped right in.
Your calls. I know you use a certain call, and as we've heard, both the box call and slate call, they both sound pretty good. So what calls do you use?
I use, like, a lot of box call and slate call. I'm learning the mouth call, but I don't really do it on stage or nothing. And, like, I do, like, there's the cluck and purr pot for slate, and, like, there's different, like, the real hen and the ninja hen and all like that. for the box.
But you got a certain make there that you like, that you wear on your shirt and all when you compete. And what's that call maker?
Woodhaven, and they are in Heflin, Alabama.
And they make box calls and slates. So they make the mouth calls too, using their mouth calls.
They do make mouth calls.
And how did you get involved with them?
I went with my dad to the Nationals, and I just picked up a box call and tried to run it, and then he taught me, and then so on.
Brings us to where we're at today.
That brings us to where we're at today. Now, I guess one of the questions I always ask callers when I talk to them is, do you just like to call, or do you like to call and hunt?
I like to call and hunt.
And it's pretty cool because your dad had some eye surgery here not too long ago, and you got to take him on a turkey hunt, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And how did he do?
He did good.
Yeah?
I mean, we couldn't find the turkey, but, we heard him, but he wouldn't come out of the woods.
That's normal when he's got a bunch of hens with him, I suppose.
The typical everyday turkey hunt.
Yeah, it's okay. Have you ever shot a turkey?
No.
No? Have you been with your dad when he shot one?
No. I have never seen a turkey been shot in real life.
But do you want to shoot one?
Yes.
Do you think you're ready for it now, or do you think it's going to be a few years?
I think I'm ready now.
That's good.
We're going to give it a shot next weekend.
Are you?
That's our weekend. Next weekend is Sarah's weekend, so be watching our Facebook page.
I will. And that's a cool thing. You know, I told you I had daughters, and my youngest just killed her first deer this past year. And I think she was always interested in it. But, you know, this past summer she came to me, she goes, Dad, I think I'm ready now.
Yeah.
And I think you have to wait for kids to get to that point. You can't push them into that. They have to come there on their own. Have you ever been turkey hunting with your dad when you just said, Dad, I'm done? I'm ready to go? No?
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah. Now you're competing, and you've placed some.
Yes.
What are some of the competitions you placed in?
I placed sixth in the Grand Nationals, and then I won first in Western Virginia, and then in South Carolina I won second.
And these are divisions now. So what division were you winning these awards in?
Poults, and then the juniors, and it goes on to the intermediates, and then just like the open and all like that.
And poults is, I guess, where they start out.
And that's correct.
If you're not a turkey hunter and you don't know about chickens or turkeys, poults are the young birds.
That's correct.
And I guess juniors are maybe a year old bird, and you know, it goes on from there. Now, how long can you compete in the division you're in? To what age group?
Till 10, and then goes on to the juniors.
Okay. And like I said, you were in Opryland competing. I know y'all went to Virginia to compete. You competed right here in South Carolina. Is this something? I mean, this is competition is pretty much on your own. You don't have a team to do it with, except you and your dad and your mom and little sister. Are you going to do more and more of this as you get older?
Yes, I am wanting to, and I'm hoping to.
We're already planning trips in August. We're going to do some more competing. Georgia will have a contest.
Okay.
There'll be another contest in Virginia in August. Every month or every couple of months, there'll be more contest out there in the Southeast, and we're going to try to travel around and hit all of them.
Yeah, very good. Box calls. Tell us a little bit about a box call. You know, you don't have to get real scientific and all, but just tell us about a box call, how you're working it, and give us a little. Tell us when you're making it, what kind of call you're making, and how you're working that box call to make that call.
Well, a box call is actually louder than a slate.
Okay.
And like for a box call, you have to put chalk on it to run it. But you can still do a turkey call without chalk on the box, but it sounds prettier and more realistic with, the chalk on it.
All right. Give us a call and then tell us what call you just made.
Okay.
All right, so the first one, what was that?
I actually did just one whole series.
Okay.
And it was the plain yelp of a hen.
Okay. And I noticed when you were doing that, it wasn't you moving the box or the call. You were actually tapping it to make it go. How long did it take you to learn to do that?
Not too long.
Yeah.
Sarah started calling really when I seen where her ability to take it into a level of competing, believe it or not, has been less than a year ago.
Wow.
She picked up her first call last spring turkey season, played it around a little bit, and I realized that she's got the ability if she wanted to.
Right.
So we went and we seen a couple contests and kind of exposed her to it. From that, it just led her into a lot more calling, a lot more hands-on with them, and here she is today running calls at all different styles, the boxes, the slates, to play with some mouth.
What's another call you can make with a box call?
You can also make, like, a fly-down cackle, cutting, an assembly yelp.
Give us one and then tell us. Make a call and then tell us which one you did.
Okay. It was the fly down cackle. It's when the hen is up on the nest and she's like flying down and just landing.
Yeah. Now, as in most, you know, when I guess I can compare this to duck hunting, the hen mallard is, you know, she's the loudest one of the bunch. Is that the same in the turkeys? I mean, is the hen turkey usually the loudest one out there?
She is. Okay. Yeah. She's going to be the louder of the group. Of course, the gobbler gobbling will definitely be the overall loudest. Yeah. But in the hen world, yes,
she talks the most.
She talks the most.
Do you ever when you're calling? Do you ever do any of the gobbles or whatever? Or you pretty much limit yourself to the hen?
I'm kind of working on gobbling, but mostly just working on the hen.
Okay, all right. Slate call, totally different than a box. It's all about the angle of the striker, pretty much, isn't it? So give us a call and then tell us what you're doing.
Okay. I did the cluck and purr, and that's when they're just on the ground, like, feeding.
Okay. A slate call, slates come and all. I mean, that's a clear slate. I've seen the charcoal black slates, different faces. Do you have one or another? You just like a clear, and that's what you got, and that's what you practice on.
I do a cluck and purr pot for like the cluck and the purrs, like in competitions and all, but. Mostly, I just use this one for, like, yelps or something.
Okay. Strikers. Is that a wood striker you've got? Because I know they make a bone and they make all sorts of different strikers, but you're using a wood striker.
Yes, I am.
Very cool. Well, you're 8. Where do you see yourself in, I don't know, 5, 10 years? I mean, you've already placed. I mean, you're 1st and 2nd and some 6th and all that. I mean, where do you see you? I mean, obviously, you got a goal. Where do you want to go?
I want to go to a lot more contests and just try to kill my first turkey and deer.
I see you like the deer hunt, too.
Yes.
It's kind of go hand in hand.
That's correct.
They are.
That's correct.
Do you fish?
Yes.
All around good one.
That's right. Everything outdoors.
Everything outdours. And guys, let me tell you what. There are guys out there that are looking for girls like you. I promise you. And I know our time is drawing to an end here, but just you know, soak it all up. You've met some pretty cool people. I've seen you with some pictures now. Now, who have you met this famous?
Luke Bryan.
Oh, I knew that was coming first. And that was thanks to Cabela's, right? Cabela's kind of got you guys backstage and all.
That is correct. Yep.
Good organization.
Absolutely.
But now I know you've had your picture made with somebody else that's pretty famous in the hunting world. That would be the bone collector, Michael Waddell. Very cool. Well, Sarah, thank you for being here. Ryan, thank you for being here.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, and let's stay in touch. Next time you come back, you have to give us a lesson. How's that? All right, y'all hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Boy, there is a pair of guys that they were good. Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. Just two great musicians, if you like, you know, 80s rock and roll like I do. And but they don't get along anymore. Funny how things happen. But yeah, man, one of the best performances ever. Their acoustic jam at the MTV Music Awards sometime in the 90s, I think. They did Wanted Dead or Alive. What a great, that was a great song. Thanks, Ryan. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed that segment from Ryan and San Sarah Grove. It's great to see young people involved in the outdoors like that. Love to get them back on the show. And I hope that suffices turkey season. If Grant can come on the next week or so, we'll talk turkeys. If not, hey, my turkey tags are on my desk and probably still unused this year again. Just wrong time of the year. And the coyote thing, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not for cruelty in anything. Okay. Even as a hunter, there's a respect for the animal there, but, coyotes, pigs is another example. Most people don't, you know, cuddly pigs. That's not an option. Cuddly coyote, could be for those of you who don't know them, but there is a control effort that needs to be done every year, and year round trapping is the way to go. And yes, the population will expand because you got every year, you got teenagers who are looking for ranges of their own. So they're going to expand to fill in the gaps and all that. But, an uncontrolled predator population, it'll even out in the long run. They'll eat down their food source. There's nothing left. Then they'll die off from starvation and game population rebound. And all we're looking for is to level the playing field a little bit. April and May, June, perfect time to get out there and try a little coyote hunting. Protect the fawns as they're trying to survive. They can make it to 6 weeks old, pretty much good. But, man, those first few weeks there, it's critical to give them some relief from predators. And coyotes are the number one. Like I said, Google up the studies done out at Savannah River site with the tagging and all. And Dr. John Kilgo was on this show back in 15 talking about that. I may pull that one up. That'd be a good one to listen to again. Loads of information. But anyway, I actually got an email from someone in North Carolina who was taking me to task for my views on coyotes. And she was with some kind of coyote society or something. She wanted to come on the show. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. Would not be fun. Not that I don't mind debating people. I just don't want to, you know, give that stuff time on the air. Maybe I ought to. Somebody's out there going, what? You can't stand a little criticism? Oh, well, all right. Enough about coyotes. Let's take the last few minutes, talk about a calendar of events, as always brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. The 12th annual Sporting Clays Tournament benefiting the Ronald McDonald's House of Camden is happening April the 14th. For more information, visit www.rmhoofcolumbia.org or rmhcoofcolumbia.org. So it's the Ronald McDonald House is what you're after. Google it. You can find it. Sporting Clays. It's going to happen it's the Kids and Clays Foundation. The year's tournament will be at the Hermitage Farm Shooting Sports in Camden, South Carolina. Participants enjoy a fun-filled day rotating through 14 challenging sporting clay stations, bidding on exciting silent auction packages, and participating in national and local raffles. To stay up to date, Ronald McDonald House Charities Columbia, please follow our social media channels. And this is an Eventbrite ticket information. You can go there and find it. But just a great Ronald McDonald House. If you've never had any experience with them, I know my niece spent some time rehabbing in Atlanta, and we stayed at a Ronald McDonald House several times while she was there. My brother and his wife spent weeks down there. And just if you've never needed one, you don't know much about them, but when you have used them, you realize what an important part of an emergency or medical situation they play, and just a great charity to get behind. And hey, you get to go burn some powder and smoke some clays. So 12th annual Sporting Clays Tournament benefit in the Ronald McDonald House, April 14th, Hermitage Farms in Camden, South Carolina. April 14th, River Rocks Music Festival. Bring your kids, 12 and under, get in free. And the kid area has fun for the whole family, featuring a bounce house, rock climbing wall, balloon art, and more. It is, goodness, why I print this stuff off and didn't come up. The Congaree River Keepers, there it is. Congaree River Keepers presents Congaree River at Founders Park. The 14th, it's participate in activities and demonstrations to find out more about how you can help Congaree River Keeper work to protect and improve water quality, wildlife habitat, and recreation on the Congaree, Lower Saluda, and Lower Broad Rivers through advocacy, education, enforcement of environmental laws. That's a good one to get into. You know, part of the Saluda River was just designated as a catch and release, only section a mile and a half of it through Columbia. And this is something you can take the whole family to, and a little education on our environment, and for a good cause, too. So I hope you'll take part of that. Also on the 14th and 15th, and I got to figure this out because I'm judging one of the chili cook-offs. There's the Belton, which is the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off Championships in Belton, South Carolina, on the square. And they got a Bama Chili Pepper Golf Tournament on the 13th, Cooks and VIP Party on Friday night. On Saturday, it is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They got the 9th annual South Carolina State Chili Cook-Off. Public tastings begin at 11:30. And then Sunday, this is, again, a private event. If you're willing to pony up enough money to sponsor this, the second annual Kegs and Eggs Chili Cook-Off on Sunday morning. So, maybe that's what I'm doing. No, because I'm going to be in Anderson. I'm judging in Anderson on Sunday. So maybe that's what I'm doing. Annual Kegs and Eggs. But anyway, good time. I mean, I've judged the Belton one before. And Fat Matt Lusk, yeah, he was on the show here talking about it back in, gosh, I think 2015. Sometimes you're hard to remember what you've done and how long ago it's been. But this is an International Chili Society event. It's Chili Verde, which is green, and ham, which is kind of different. There's red chili. Of course, everybody knows red chili. There's usually a home-style chili division, a salsa division. So it's, and you can get out and eat all this. And they've got musical acts going on in Belton and all. So it's a good time. Anyway, that's the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off, Belton, South Carolina. April the 14th is when the public's invited. And again, chili. Kind of hope it's a little chilly that day, dude. Sounds really bad. Yeah, there's the drum crashing cymbals and all. Thank you, James. history. Always good to know your history. The Battle of Charleston. Coming up, the 14th annual Battle of Charleston, living military timeline featuring pirates, Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, all living history and skirmishes, April the 14th and 15th in Charleston, South Carolina, Laguerre Farms on Johns Island. Let's see. Spectators admission, $12, 12 and up or $10. Children 5 to 11, $5. Children under 5 is free. You can purchase tickets online at Laguerre Farms. Let's see what we got here. The Laguerre family and the 7th South Carolina welcome you to the Battle of Charleston's Living Military Timeline. We're proud to offer you an amazing time while you explore the living histories of our local heritage with pirates, Revolutionary War, all that stuff. First stop will probably be Sutler's Row, an area chock full of both period and modern vendors. Grab a biscuit with a hot cup of coffee. Shop the Sutler's vendors. Full of treasures to explore. Check out the activities tents and have a hearty lunch with our food vendors. Special this year is our living military timeline. We brought together centuries worth of history revolving around the brave men and women who stood the wall for us throughout our past. You'll be amazed at the narration of history that we have created for you. You'll be able to explore the camp life, battle scenarios, widely varied equipment and living conditions for those time periods. I have a blacksmith, hospital tent, period life, and you'll learn a lot. These are great events, history of our country, essentially, in Charleston, South Carolina. So hope you make plans if you're going to be down in the low country. You can go to the website, and they've got actually a map of where you can go, where to park, the touring area and all. So Battle of Charleston coming up April 14th, 15th, Charleston, Johns Island. And then probably the favorite one of all here, it's a foodie thing, deal with it, is the Welcome to the World Grits Festival. Yes, St. George, South Carolina. The World Grit Festival of 2018 will be held April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Rolling in the Grits contest will be held on Saturday. That's probably one you don't want to miss. But, I mean, who doesn't, the South doesn't like grits? Like grits, James? Oh, yeah, love grits. Got to have them. Shrimp and grits, grit cakes, you know, hey, just grits. And grits are not instant, by the way. No, you don't open up a package, pour it in hot water. That's not grits. Sorry, grits take like 20 minutes. And they're good. Trust me, if you never... You never tried them. You need to. Okay, so April the 13th, stores open, art festival, food booth, grits meals in the festival building, business and civic booths, Stone Ground Grits. They got a carnival going on. They got some musical acts. April 14th, like I said, don't miss the grit rolling contest. Kids fun run, all sorts of stuff. Grits, grits, and more grits, right? Like shrimp and grits. Shrimp burger, shrimp. Okay, that's good. St. George, South Carolina. Hope you make time to get out. This is just fun stuff on the calendar. It's a place to start. There's plenty more out there for you. Just get on your computer and find something you're interested in and get outdoors. Sorry for the kind of scattered show today, but hey, that's tax season. So bear with me. Be back next weekend with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget your camera. See you next week. Teenage is like a friend of mine. From